January 15, The Daily Stoic. Peace is in staying the course. Tranquility can't be grasped except by those who have reached an unwavering and firm power of judgment. The rest constantly fall and rise in their decisions, wavering in a state of alternately rejecting and accepting things. What is the cause of this back and forth? It's because nothing is clear and they rely on the most uncertain guide, common opinion. Seneca, Moral Letters, 95.57b through 58a. In Seneca's essay on tranquility, he uses the Greek word euthyma, which he defines as believing in yourself and trusting that you are on the right path and not being in doubt by following the myriad footpaths of those wandering in every direction. It is in this state of mind, he says, that produces tranquility. Clarity of vision allows us to have this belief. That's not to say we're always going to be 100% certain of everything, or that we even should be. Rather, it is that we can rest assured we're heading generally in the right direction, that we don't need to constantly compare ourselves with other people or change our mind every 3 seconds based on new information. Instead, tranquility and peace are found in identifying our path, and it is in sticking to it. Staying the course, making adjustments here and there naturally, but ignoring the distracting sirens who beckon us to turn toward the rocks. A Year with C.S. Lewis. Our highest activity. If the world exists not chiefly that we may love God, but that God may love us, yet that very fact, on a deeper level, is so for our sakes. If he, who in himself can lack nothing, chooses to need us, it is because we need to be needed. Before and behind all the relations of God to man, as we now learn them from Christianity, yawns the abyss of a divine act of pure giving, the election of man from non-entity to the beloved of God, and therefore, in some sense, the needed and desired of God. Who but for that act needs and desires nothing, since he eternally has and is all goodness. And that act is for our sakes. It is good for us to know love, and best for us to know the love of the best object, God. But to know it as a love in which we are primarily the wooers, and God the wooed, in which we sought and he was found, in which his conformity to our needs, not ours to his, came first, would be to know it in a form false to the very nature of things. For we are only creatures. Our role must always be that of patient to agent, female to male, mirror to light, echo to voice. Our highest activity must be response, not initiative. To experience the love of God in a true and not an illusory form is therefore to experience it as our surrender to his demand, our conformity to his desire. To experience it in the opposite way is, as it were, a solecism against the grammar of being. From The Problem of Pain. Jesus calling. His face is shining upon you, beaming out peace that transcends understanding. You are surrounded by a sea of problems, but you are face to face with him, your peace. As long as you focus on him, you are safe. If you gaze too long in the myriad of problems around you, you will sink under the weight of your burdens. But if you start to sink, simply call out, "Help me, Jesus," and he will lift you up. The closer you live to him, the safer you are. Circumstances around you are undulating, and there are treacherous-looking waves in the distance. Fix your eyes on him, the one who never changes. By the time those waves reach you, they will have shrunk to proportions of his design. He is always beside you, helping you face today's waves. The future is a phantom, seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Stay close to Him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Then Peter got down off the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Matthew 14:29-30. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2.